We are promised that we will spend eternity together as God's children this morning, and we are thankful for that. As Ray said, we get that rest of the promise. We get that glorified body likened unto God Himself. In the book of Proverbs, men, you already got your Bibles marked there. If you would go with me to the 16th chapter of the book of Proverbs today, and while you pray for us for a few minutes of time as we try to bring to you a word from the Lord that I pray will encourage each and every one of us this morning. 16th chapter of the book of Proverbs, reading the first three verses this morning, and taking our text and just bringing the message that God has laid upon our hearts. It says in verse 1 of chapter 16, "The preparations of the heart of man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." And stop reading there in that third verse, and thank you for those that stand for the reading of God's word. He's telling us in that third verse to commit our works unto the Lord. This morning, I'd like to bring to you a message entitled, "Make a Commitment, an Oath, and Keep It." Make a commitment and keep it. So many folks today are non-committal. So many that make an oath and then don't keep it. And many of us, and you know, when he says that word commit there in the Greek is the same as an oath or a commitment or a covenant, being true to our word. There was a time when men and women were true to their word. When they gave you their word, you could count on it. It's not so anymore. So many folks that are just not truthful, as Lloyd said in Sunday school this morning. And many folks today would even go as far as to say that the Bible does not say to make an oath. But really what the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, in the fifth chapter and the fifth verse, he says, "Better is it that thou shouldest not vow then thou shouldest vow and not pay." In other words, we ought not make an oath if we're not going to keep it. We ought to not make a commitment if we're not going to keep it. And for that reason, many of us have not made New Year's resolutions. We don't want to be committed to something that we may not be able to keep. But if you really purpose it with all your heart, that's what you want to do in this new year, then we ought to make a vow, we ought to make a commitment unto God that we're going to try in this new year to be the best child of God that we can be. The best church member that we can be, the best husband or wife that we can be, the best parent that we can be, and the best friend that we can be. Because, you see, people are counting on us. And we need to be committed to that which God has laid upon our hearts. Because the scripture says, James said it like this, to feel God's presence move in our hearts through the word is one thing, but he said it's the doer, those that follow through, that are justified. Not just to hear it, but to hear the word of God and commit in our own lives that we're going to make a difference in this new year. Many of us don't make oaths or commitments because we're sure, we want to be sure that we won't break them. And I've come to tell us this morning, that's the easy way out. Y'all's not going to like the pastor on the first Sunday in 2020. That's the easy way out. And we live in a non-committal world. Look around us today. Employers to their employee, non-committal. Employees to their employers. Homes where there's no commitment. And even in our churches where there is no commitment at all. When you really love something, it is not a sacrifice to make a commitment or an oath. It is a privilege and an honor. That when you really love what God has given to you, to be committed to it 100%. How many of us would like to have a home where our spouse is non-committal? I don't think any of us would like that situation. We want to be committed, and we want people to be committed to us. God said, commit your works unto me. Give me, commit it. Not just lip service, but give me your whole heart in all that you do, and I will bless you. That's what he said. He said, and your thoughts shall be established. What that means is that God will take our plans and we will succeed. I am not able to keep my commitments by myself, but with the help of God, I can keep my commitments. We all can keep our commitments. There are four things that we ought to be committed unto with all of our heart. With all of our heart. The first one is that we ought to be committed with all of our heart unto God, our Lord, and our Savior. With everything we have within us, we ought to be committed unto Him. When God saved us, He made a commitment to us. I will be with you always, even to the end of this world. And then when you're done in this world, I'll take you home to be with me. When we stepped out and came to an altar and prayed, we entered into a commitment with God. I take you as my Lord and as my Savior. And I will do your will and not mine in my life. We made that commitment to God. And we are being held responsible for the commitment that we have made unto God. The Bible says in the book of Numbers, in the 30th chapter, in the 2nd verse, if a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do all according that proceedeth out of his mouth. How many of us made a commitment to God when we came down the aisle? Whether you said it in word or not, our actions made a commitment that, Lord, if you'll save me, I will be your child. I will take you as my Lord and as my God, and I will put away all the strange gods that I've had up to this point in my life. When God saved us, we entered into that commitment. And I want to put this in this morning. God has never let us down on His part. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God has always fulfilled His word. If there's anything that is lacking today, it's our commitment to Him. How many of us today in this new year would like to make a deeper commitment unto God? And you say, but Roger, if I make that oath, as he said in Ecclesiastes, if I make it and then I don't break it, and I break it, I'm not able to keep it, what would happen? God knows when you're really trying and when you're just giving lip service. I've seen a lot of, or heard a lot of people say, I'm going to change my ways, only to find a week or so later, they was right back to doing the same things. We make commitments all the time. So why are people so afraid to make a commitment to God in your life that you want to work for Him like you've never worked before? How many of us know we are in the last days? And if anybody ought to be true to their commitments to God, it's those that are saved by His marvelous grace. We owe the world a message that Jesus saves and He forgives all sin. We need to be committed to God like we've never been committed before. That we would do our part. You know, a lot of times in commitments, one will do their part and the other will be slackened. And it puts more work on the one that is trying to fulfill their commitment. Folks, when we entered into this yoke with God, I'm afraid that God is pulling most of the load. And we're not doing our part. As we go into this new year, I pray every one of us would search out our hearts and say, Lord, what can I do more for You in this new year than I've ever done before? And you know what God would say, I believe? Just keep my word. Keep my promise to you, and remember that others may let you down, but I have never let you down. And if you will keep your word to me, God says He will look upon our plans. He will look upon our future, and it will be successful today. How many of us today are in turmoil, not knowing what the future holds? Many, as we heard a request today for our troops that are on foreign soil, protecting the lives of Americans. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but praise God, I know who holds tomorrow, and He's got it all worked out. If we will just commit to Him, God will take care of the rest. I believe our forefathers were so blessed because they committed their whole life to God. Everything they did, it was, if the Lord will. If the Lord will. Today we've taken that role upon ourselves. If I decide to, then I'll take care of it. We need to recommit to God. In fact, the Bible calls it like this, that we need to have a rededication of our lives back to God. And you say, does that apply to the preachers and the deacons and everybody else? Yes, we all need a deeper commitment unto God. And if you don't believe that we need a deeper commitment, and I know this is Sunday morning, just look at Sunday night and Wednesday night. That'll make a church quiet, won't it, Lloyd? We need a deeper commitment. God is our all in all. Without God, we can do nothing. We can accomplish nothing. But with God, all things are possible. We need a deeper commitment to His Word. This is not just good enough for our forefathers. This is good enough for today. This week in the news, the United Methodist Church is on the verge of a split because of gay marriage. Church, if the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. Amen. Regardless of what era of time we live in. God does not change His word to fit sin. Sin ought to change to fit God's word. We cannot bring every word from the world into the house of God just because it sounds good or just because it pleases a sector or a group of people. The Bible says God's word will stand when the world is on fire. His word is true. We don't need to change God's word. We need to change our lives to fit God's word. And people say, well, that just sounded so good back then, but we live in a different time and era, and we need to change. Sin is growing by leaps and bounds. And instead of the church changing the world is changing the church. We need a deeper commitment to this word. We won't be popular because we stand upon God's word. But what God said is, if you'll stand on my word, I will stand with you. I'll walk with you through the valley. I'll walk with you when you're climbing the high mountain. That no matter what you're going through, if you will stay with my word, recommit to this word. And then, as we recommit to it, dive deeper into it. It's not just Roger's preaching. It's God's word. This is not my book. This is his book. It's not that God hates people. God hates sin. And sin cannot strive or work and live right along beside of godliness. I had a woman this week, and one day I'm going to get in trouble. Had a woman this week, and she was, it was New Year's Eve, and I was working, and she said, I asked her, I wished her a happy New Year, and she said, oh, I'll be safe, I'll be in church. And I said, well, that's great. Going to a New Year's Eve service, and she said, yes. She said, so I'll be safe and blessed. And I said, that's wonderful. And then she said, afterwards, we're going out drinking. I said, then why are you going to church? Y'all see, I'm going to get in trouble. But this word says to stay away from it. Would you like to have a pastor that's a drunkard? Deacons that are social drinkers? You know, the Bible says to stay away from it. And if the Bible says to stay away from it, regardless of what everybody else is doing, we ought to do what God's word says. Make a Baptist church quiet on a Sunday morning, won't it? His word is true. When we took God as our Lord and Savior, we took his word. And we made a commitment to live by this word. How many of us have failed to keep this word? And you say, you talked about sin. I mean, there's even deeper things than that. The Bible says that for us, even as parents, if we spare the rod, we'll spoil the child. How many heathens do we have running around because people did not live according to the word of God? How many of us, and some of you today will think that Roger is into beating a child. I'm not into beating a child, but I think that whippings ought to be used to correct a child. How many of us grew up with a belt or a switch on our backside? And we didn't turn out too bad. In fact, had we not, it's no telling where we would have ended up at. Because wrong is wrong and right is right. And there's no in between. Amen? We need to be committed to God and we need to be committed to his word. We need to be committed in this new year to our church. Somebody say, Roger, why can't you preach one of those hallelujah shouting messages? I think if we get really committed, we'll have those. to our church, which is our mother. When we join a church, we are making a commitment to that church. It's really quiet. We're making a commitment to that church to support it with our attendance and to support it financially, to support it with our prayers. And, Brother Mark, as we're out on our jobs, inviting others to come and being a part of it. You say, this isn't a message for visitors. I think we all need a deeper commitment. When we made that commitment to the church, is that we would support it with our hearts, our soul, and our bodies. We would be here. I wish we had some of our folks that visit every once in a while. Because you see, if you're saved, I believe there is a need to be in the house of God. Otherwise, instead of growing, you'll not just stay stagnant, but you'll rescind. You'll go backwards. And the Bible says, fail not the assembling of yourselves together in the house of God. People say, y'all go to church way too much. Really, we don't go to church enough. And the church is not just this building. How many of you have church at home sometimes? Or in the car? Or at work? Or maybe some of us, even as we're out cutting grass or working in the garden, we have church. Wherever God shows up, that is church today. And we ought to enjoy church. Church ought not be a burden. It ought to be a joy. It ought not to be, I have to go to church. It ought to be, I get to go to church. And you say, but Roger, you don't understand. I have to work. God knows the circumstances. He knows the circumstances. But how many times could we have been there that we weren't? Oh, y'all love this kind of preaching, don't you? We're noncommittal. Most times people want to belong to a church where they can blend in instead of stand out. Every one of us has a role to play. I cannot do your part and you cannot do my part. We all have a role in this church, in God's church. And our role is to do this, to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them that are lost to come that they might be saved before it's too late. Every once in a while, Robbie will lead us in a song in the congregation that says, you never mention him to me. I wonder sometimes how many folks would be able to use that excuse toward one of us today. And don't get me wrong, we'll be gone, but yet they will hold people that could have mentioned them. And the Bible even says, it teaches us like this, that the Lord told us to go out and spread his word, and to those that would receive it, he will bless, and those that will not receive it, as we leave their house, to shake the dust off. And you say, but people don't want to hear about God anymore. You know, church has become a social event instead of a spiritual event. So many want a program that excites them. Give me something that really ignites my inner man. And folks, there is nothing that will excite you like the moving of the Holy Spirit when it comes by. You don't need a band or a group or a praise and worship team or leader. What we need is to ask God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon our gathering. Bless the songs and bless the word as it goes out. And we will leave here excited about what God has done and what he's going to do for us in our lives. Church has become more secular instead of spiritual. And you say to me today, how can we make it more spiritual? By every one of us recommitting to God and recommitting to His Word. You know, when the preacher preaches the truth, there ought to be some amens in the house. Even if it's not popular preaching. And it's only popular because we've not recommitted ourselves. Many of us have been saved for many years. But you know, our Christian walk takes daily recommitting to God. If Paul, one of the greatest preachers to ever preach, could say that he had to die daily, what does that say about us? Because you see, I love this illustration, and I never have been able to paint it the way I really feel it in my heart. We're like the prodigal son. We are out there in the world every day. And we come to the house of the Lord on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, and we track in some of that filth, that dirt from the world into the house of God. It takes a good old-time Holy Ghost-filled service to wash us and make us clean so that we can worship God the way that He wants us to. Because we got too much filth on us. Too much filth. We need to be committed to the church, because not just because she's our mother, but because we need to be committed to our brothers and sisters. I am obligated to you. You are obligated to one another. We are obligated to each other. I have not ever been a pastor that when someone's not here to call them and say, where are you at? There are times people have to miss. I understand that. But if you go too long without being in the house of the Lord, I've seen a saying this week, and I'll probably get it wrong. You keep missing church, and you'll get to a point in your life where it doesn't mean anything to you. You're forsaking your mother. You're forsaking your brothers and your sisters. We ought to recommit to one another. I will help you, and you will help me as we're going through this life. That's what a church is. It's a bunch of baptized believers helping each other along and trying to get the lost saved before it's too late. The fourth one is to our families. We need to make a commitment and keep it. Becky and I have been married, and I had to add it up last night. 41 years, be 42. And we made a commitment to each other back in 1978. That commitment was, till death do us part. Now, there are some that have not been able to keep that commitment because of circumstances. And even Moses said to give them a writ of divorcement. All right. There are some folks that the spouse didn't want to be committed anymore. I believe God knows all about that. And they will have to give an account. Amen. But until my last breath goes out of my lungs, I am committed to that woman. I'm committed that not just, I didn't marry her and say as long as we like each other, we'll stay married. Because it wasn't but a couple days in, I didn't like her too much anymore. But I still loved her. And some of y'all are laughing and smiling because you know it's true. There are days we don't like each other. But I still love her. And I shouldn't say days. There are times. To our families because of our children. If you're going to bring children into this world, you ought to be committed to them. To raise them in the fear and admonition of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You ought to be committed until they become of age that you will provide for them all the things that they need. And the greatest need that they have is their spiritual upbringing. And you say, well, my parents didn't do that. You can change that for your children. Becky talked about the Abbott children that we had. Their parents didn't raise them, and we had them for 5 years. And folks, let me tell you, you cannot turn around the teachings from their youth if they don't get in and get rooted and grounded in God and the church. They will turn out like the world. Because every one of us, I want you to ask yourself this question this morning. Where would you be if it wasn't for the church? Where would you be at today? We need to be committed and make a recommitment to our children. None of us, and this might be astonishing to some of you, none of us has got perfect children. But neither did our parents. But we still love them. And we need to be recommitted to them. To tell them, Charlie, God loves you. And God can change your circumstance if you'll just allow Him to do that. Commitment is not today what it used to be. As I close, in the family, instead of us being committed to one another, we'll just live together. This is a church message this morning. We'll just live together. They used to say it, Brother Eli, they used to call it, they'll just shack up. I'm showing my age. But you know, I remember when I was young, if somebody or a couple just lived together, they was embarrassed about it. They was ashamed of the fact, and you say, but they still did it, but yet they would not stay around people, especially church folk. You know what the church folk has done? We've changed to accommodate and make everybody feel comfortable. How many of you remember when sin was pronounced in your life, there was a time of uncomfortableness, if that's such a word, that came in your life. In our families today, that kids don't have both parents. I heard a statistic a while back, and it was like 60% of the kids in America live in a single parent household. 60%. God designed the home to be a mother and a father. He didn't design it to have two dads or two moms. He said, a husband and a wife. And now we have these kids growing up not knowing what a home is supposed to look like. We may have been raised poor, but we knew what home was about. And we knew what church was about. In our churches, there's no commitment today because many, instead of belonging to a church, they just visit. They just show up. Every once in a while they show up instead of belonging. They don't want to commit because if you commit, something might be expected from you. You ought to worry more about what God expects from you than you do what the church expects from you. You know, how many of us can say, it's a privilege to belong to a church? It's not laborious. It's easy. It's easy and it's enjoyable. God, or the Word of God, Instead of our people being committed to the Word of God, Brother Ray, what they say is, that was fine for them in that time. But look around you, brother. The world has changed, and we need to accommodate how the world has changed. What we're saying is, God, we're kicking you out and bringing the world in. Let me tell you, when it comes time to leave this world, you better have God and not the world. And many people today, instead of being committed to God, they say, God knows I'm trying my best. What did he say in our reading today? All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. I pause there because I'm reminded of so many people that say, my kids are good kids. My loved ones are good people. You know, we can look at people and justify in our own eyes anything we want to. And the closer the bloodline is to us, the more justifying we do. You know what the Bible says? If it's sin, call it sin. If it's wrong, let's tell it that it's wrong. And you say, but they won't like it if I tell them it's wrong. I'm not saying to give them a message or a sermon. I'm saying that when God lays upon your heart and opens the door, that's when we ought to say what God gives to us in love. You say, how do I say it in love? You know the difference. You know the difference. We need a recommitment back to God, His Word, our church, and our families. You say, does that mean you and Becky's going to get married again? We've already got married. I'm not going to join the church again. I'm already a member. I'm not going to get saved again because God only saves one time. I'm already saved, Charlie. And as far as I'm concerned, there's only one Bible. Give me the King James Version. People say, it's too hard to read. Get saved, get dedicated, and get in Sunday school and learn, and you'll find out this book is not that hard to read. You know why we make it hard? And I'll tell them myself too, Brother Ron. Anytime we don't want to do something, we'll make an excuse. How many of you got more excuses? No. We need to recommit this morning. How many of you are like me? You'd like to see God use you in a way in this new year like He's never used you before. You'd like to sing your songs like you've never sung them before. You'd like to be able to go to church and feel like you've not felt in a long time. And you know what's preventing these from happening? Is that you're afraid to make that oath. To commit yourself unto God. Folks, when you commit to people, people will let you down. But I've come to tell you, God will not let you down. When you commit to Him, you say, but doesn't it say, Roger, that not to make a vow, because if you make a vow and you break it, it's going to cost you even more? God is looking at your heart. And if you keep your commitment to God, God will walk beside you every step of the way so that your commitments will be successful. How many of you made New Year's resolutions? Oh my goodness. Not a single hand went up. Well, here we are. I'm giving you another chance. Because some of us need to make a recommitment. We need to make an oath to God. Lord, I failed you miserably. I have failed you so much in the past year. And now I want to rededicate, recommit my life into your hands. I want to be all I can be for my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. All that I can be. While Robbie gets us a song of invitation, let me paint this picture for you. I don't want to die, and before I leave this world, be embarrassed about being non-committed to my God who's done so much for me. Even in our best, I believe you can work hard each and every day and still, when we leave this world, Brother Eli, say, I don't deserve what God has given to me. But I want to leave here, and I believe you want to leave here, knowing that we did our best to get our people in before it's too late and to live a Christian life in front of them. You know, Lloyd talked about it in Sunday school. How many people look at Christians and say, if they're going to heaven, then I have nothing to worry about, because we're not committed. We're not committed. Folks, we need to have a deeper commitment today than we've ever had before, because the world, sin is out of hand. Becky made mention the kids that have these phones, these smartphones, and put stuff out there. And you know what? The devil uses all technology to educate the kids on sin. We need to educate our people on God's will and living a godly life. It's not just for grandma and grandpa. It's for all of us today. While we stand and they sing a verse of a song, this morning, are you willing to recommit your life to God, to His Word, to the church, to one another? Will you do that on this Sunday morning? Will you follow your heart on this Sunday morning and say, Lord, I want to recommit my life to you, because I want my life to be successful. And only He can make it that way. Anybody at all this morning that would recommit your life to God, to your church, recommit your life to His Word? Anybody else? God bless them this morning. Anybody else that will make that commitment? Your homes can't stand without it. You have to know that you're committed to one another. Come on this morning. Come on today. Recommit your whole life unto God. And watch God bless you. While they pause, Robbie, for just a moment, while these are praying. You know, there's nothing wrong with us saying, Lord, I've not lived up. How many of you have got expectations for your own life with God? I've not even lived up to my expectations, much less yours. Because His ways are higher than our ways. But you know, we ought to not to fail God. We ought to be able to keep our commitment unto God and unto ourselves. You know, just because all my friends are doing it, and I really shouldn't call them friends, Billy, they're more acquaintances, doesn't mean it makes it right for me. You know, as Grandma used to say, if everybody else jumped off the bridge, would you? That's where we live at today. You can't go along with the crowd. You've got to go along with what God puts in your heart. One last verse and we'll close. One last verse. You come today. However God has moved in your heart, It's a new year. New expectations. Kneel at the cross. Leave every care. Yes. Some may ask, Roger, why are you so for recommitment to God and to His church, to His word, to our families? And the reason is, there's too much at risk. Too much at risk. Just one of your loved ones dying and going to hell is too high of a cost. When we could have presented Jesus and seen a difference. One of us today, not carrying our end of the responsibility, it pushes it off on somebody else to help carry an even greater load. The church, in all of her beauty, needs all of her children working together to get the lost in, that they might accept Jesus Christ. And folks, we individually, we have this desire. I believe there is a longing inside of every born-again child of God to do more for God. We want to do more. But we say, well, I'll start next Sunday. And you know what happens? December 31 comes around and we still haven't started. I hope the message this morning will ignite it within your heart and your soul. Lord, I don't want to wait till next Sunday. Let it start in me today, that I might be a better child, a better brother or sister, a better helper, a better spouse, to be just better for our Lord and Savior. Have you enjoyed being in the house of the Lord on Sunday morning? How many of us are going to make a recommitment to ourselves and to God? Lord, I want to do more than I've ever done before. And some of you look around, you say, but these people are in church all the time. You can go to church and still need to be recommitted. Make a new commitment unto God. And then after you make it, fulfill it. Amen. God bless you this morning. Bless these that came. To those visiting with us, I hope y'all come back and be with us again. And to you that are members and attendees, we look forward to seeing you tonight in our service. And you know, God, if we'll all come back tonight with a recommitment in our hearts, it's no telling what might break out tonight. Amen. Some of y'all that ain't never sung a song may sing a song for us. And some of you that's never testified may testify. You don't know what God's going to do with you until you get committed unto Him. God bless you today is our prayer.